Welcome everybody to the Big City Slams podcast. It is Monday,
cup of haters.
July 1st, and we're a cup of haters for you. I got Tyler the Oracle with me, and I am your host, the hardcore hooligan, Dan, and we are currently chatting about the AEW event that happened this weekend, Fyter Fest. And,
oh, wow.
Eating some pizza, so. Go for it, man. Go for it if you want one. That being said, let's start out with the first match that, I think was on the official card. I actually didn't see the pre-show, did you?
Yeah, I did.
I saw the...
Do you want my thoughts on the pre-show?
Well, what was the card?
Probably not going to get an order. I believe it was the private party, SoCal Uncensored, which was Scorpio Sky and...
I watched that match, yeah.
And Kazarian, and I'm trying to remember the other team.
Asian team?
Might have been.
I'm pretty sure.
Might have been the other two for OVE. It was alright. I thought it was a decent high-flying triple threat. It felt like, you know, Spot Monkey.
I always enjoyed watching Christopher Daniels, but other than that, like, I thought it was the same thing.
Well, Daniels wasn't in the match. Hmm? It was Kazarian and Scorpio Sky.
It was on ringside. But where I really started watching, and it kind of pissed me off.
You're skipping something. They had the CEO of CEO Gaming playing wrestler. Whipping out tables under the ring like a veteran. Yeah. Hitting people with fight sticks. Video game controllers. All that stuff. Slammed them on what looked like to be Legos. Maybe Mega Blocks. If you ever grew up with those.
Never.
It's just weird to see someone who's not a wrestler getting offense on someone who is a wrestler. Because to me that just makes it look like, well, if the CEO from CEO Gaming can do it, why can't I? Because that dude was in the ring with a real athlete, which I think was the guy who did the baby oil, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, the baby.
Nakazawa, whatever his name is.
Well, I ain't even worth talking about. To me, until he earns my respect, he's baby oil. Jim Cornette calls, like Jim Cornette calls Orange Cassidy pockets.
Yeah.
And dick boy.
But that being said, I didn't think it was the time or place to have someone like that wrestle a match. If you want to wrestle a match like that, you can go to any indie promotion you want.
At least the buy-in, in theory, in the United States was free, because if those are the matches you're trying to get to entice people to buy your pay-per-view, that's not exactly a hook, if you ask me.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
The triple threat tag match is something you want on your pre-show. I don't like too much comedy in my wrestling, because that's what it was. It was a comedy match. And I didn't bust my gut. I just feel like that's important to talk about because that's the tone they set. The first match AEW ever had, you had the guy with no legs taking people out of the ring. Baby Oil Man. All that weird shit. But we can talk about the main card. I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Well, first match in the main card was Leva Bates versus, not Kylie Rae. Who was it?
Was it Britt Baker?
Mm-mm.
Was it Allie?
Maybe.
I think it was Allie.
I have to look up the card now.
Oh, that's another thing we should talk about. How dumb was that librarian skit?
It's a dumb gimmick. And I heard someone as she was walking down the ramp when she had the microphone in her hand and she was doing the shush. Scream, your gimmick fucking sucks. And I'm pretty sure everybody else thought the same thing, because that was some WWE bullshit, mate. That looked like it came straight out of the brain of Vince McMahon. Like
IRS. That kind of character, you know?
But they're not even
Repo
funny.
Repo Man.
She has this dude with her.
Dr. Isaac Yankum. This is the category these people fall under.
It's embarrassing.
He looks that...
To kick off your main show?
The librarian male looks like Ned Flanders mixed with a pederast. I would not feel safe with the librarian around my children that haven't been born yet.
I just thought that whole gimmick was dumb. I thought it didn't add anything to the show. It's really WWE-esque.
Well, apparently if we watch Being the Elite, we would know more about them. But at the same time, I don't think I want to.
Mm-mm. I'm just waiting for TV, which apparently TV prices for their tickets are extremely expensive. Okay. No, it was Allie. Allie defeated Leva Bates via pinfall. Although...
Was the crowd silent for that match? Did librarians get their wish? Because it sounded dead quiet during that match. Yeah. So, in theory, I guess the gimmick worked.
So, the Michael Nakazawa and Alex Jabaley wasn't that great of a match.
That's right, it was Jabaley.
And then, is it Chima? Sima?
Yeah, we'll go
versus,
with that.
Versus Christopher Daniels.
I loved it.
I thought that was not a bad back and forth.
There was actual chain wrestling.
Yeah.
Not everyone's taking coffin dive bumps onto the apron. There was nothing crazy or outlandish about that match, and it worked.
It was solid.
The kind of wrestling I like, personally. Not so, Circus Olay.
In the next match, we had a triple threat with Rio, Yuka Sakazawa, the Sakazaki.
Bear with us,
and
folks.
And Nyla Rose. And like I was telling my co-host here, I was sitting there watching this event with my uncle, and I said, this match is being booked all wrong. This is a giant woman who's supposed to be dominating the division, and she's getting the shit kicked out of her by two Asians who are like three quarters her size.
Yeah, either way, Nyla Jack should have dominated that match.
Nyla Jack.
Regardless of the Nyla circumstance. Rose. Ooh.
You said Jesus. Nyla Jack.
Nyla, oh, well. Fuck. I say this, Nyla Rose can wrestle better than Nia Jax.
Yeah.
You want to get down to brass tacks.
But if you're trying to build her as a dominator, she's lost her first two AEW matches where wins and losses matter. And I keep telling this that on commentary, wins and losses matter when she's lost two matches.
Already.
So it just makes me think, is she really going to be that dominant? I think they pulled the trigger too fast at Double or Nothing on the whole Awesome Kong Nyla Rose thing.
What I was thinking towards the end of the match when Nyla Rose was sitting on the ramp and the two other women were in the ring, I thought Awesome Kong was going to come out to set up a tag match. Because Nyla Rose and Awesome Kong as a tag team,
yeah,
that's Undertaker and Kane level of destruction for the women's division.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, they'll turn on each other at some point, but fuck.
Overall, their women's division, in my eyes, is extremely lacking.
Much like the Ring of Honor women's division.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of funny how All Elite Wrestling managed to get a women's division before New Japan?
Yeah.
Considering they promote a lot of Japanese talent, and some Chinese for that matter.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
I think the whole Oriental Wrestling Entertainment collab, along with the AAA collab, is just giving them worldwide exposure already. Because you're seeing All Elite stars on Mexican television and Asian television, wherever places vary.
I think they're smart for having a relationship with AAA.
But that's what I'm saying, because AAA is fucking huge.
Yeah, it is.
They sell out really big arenas down there, folks.
5 million viewers a week.
5 million viewers for the Young Bucks. Drew more than Seth Rollins, who has more money than you.
Yeah, he has more money than you. That's right.
But we'll get into that later. What was the next match?
Alright. So the next match was Hangman Page, MJF, Jimmy Havoc, and Jungle Boy.
With Luchasaurus.
Which apparently MJF took forever to deliver his promo. And
I liked it. I showed Dan this morning. He thought it was funny.
Luchasaurus had Jungle Boy upside down on his back in the tunnel waiting for MJF to get done. And rumor has it that they got into it after the show, and MJF legit said, I'm fucking MJF. I'm going to take as long as I want on my promos.
Is that during the Chris Van Bleh interview?
Something like that. But that being said,
MJF's the best promo in the business.
MJF's fucking great.
He is literally, he has the youth of a young man, which makes no sense why I said that.
You see the dude they cut to?
But he,
after he said that.
Oh, that poor bastard.
Fucking priceless, dude. What a great, like.
That guy will be the Undertaker shocked guy. But he'll be the video game version MJF promo.
That was fucking hilarious. That was so funny.
MJF reminds me of what EC3 should be.
Yeah.
To a T.
Yeah, this kid's
but that's
22.
A whole nother ball game. But MJF's, I think, the future. I think I agree with Solid Monster. I think Jungle Boy stole the show in that match. Not stole the whole show, but at least was the superstar of the match.
Me being my bias, I wish that Jimmy Havoc wasn't the one to take the pin, but
I actually don't like Jimmy Havoc. I understand you do, but he's small, he's pasty. You look like you can whoop his ass. And this guy's going out there, which, not this match specifically, but he's a deathmatch wrestler.
Should wrestle Moxley. It probably should have been him and Moxley rather than him and Janela. But
I think we're going to talk about that match, but I think putting Janela in there really was a good thing.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
It boosted Janela's status. I don't know who the fuck Joey Janela was until AEW came around.
I know he did the whole superhuman shit, and he screams, fuck this shit, when he dives off anything. Like, in direct tribute to that, dude, that's fucking great. But, Hangman Page won.
As he should have. Wrestling, was it Kip Sabian? At Fight for the Fallen. That's why Kip Sabian came out on commentary. I like that spot when MJF basically knocked Jungle Boy almost off, like, the apron, and Luchasaurus caught him, and they did, like, the Matrix thing, and then he got... I actually liked that. That was a really cool manager spot.
Okay, so the next match was Cody versus Darby Allin.
That's how you make a star, folks, because I don't know who the fuck Darby Allin was before the match, but I sure as hell do now.
I think he's too flippy-dippy for my taste, but he's a good wrestler.
I think Cody made him tell a great story, and Cody's a good in-ring general. Because this dude just wasn't flying around. Cody was throwing him around, beating the shit out of him, being the veteran.
Yeah.
They had actual mind games. It told a story.
Yeah. What a great match.
That one spot where he threw him into the post. Fuck.
The one spot that did trouble me was the whole
coffin dive.
Backwards coffin dive off the turnbuckle onto the apron.
Onto the apron.
I showed that one to my mom.
What'd she say?
She was like, Jesus, what the fuck? I'm like, it's fake now, huh? Oh, well, we forgot to even fucking talk about this part. Fucking Sean Spears came and fucking dinked Cody Rhodes on the head with the chair. And let me just say this. Chair spot probably wasn't needed. And I think everybody's kind of in agreement about that. But that being said, it's fucking stupid for fucking Nick Jackson to come out and say that the fucking chair is rigged. An hour after the show's over.
Did you hear what Tony Khan said? Even though we're kind of jumping around a little.
Yeah, he blamed it on Sean Spears.
If there's pilot error, there's pilot error. You can build the best plane in the world, doesn't mean it's going to work. What an analogy, because I really like Tony Khan, but that's the one thing he said that did not marinate with me.
You got to eat shit and like the taste of it.
You got to eat shit and learn to like the taste of it. One thing I was thinking to myself was, Sean Spears worth that spot?
Yeah, because people know who he is.
I mean,
nobody knew who Darby Allin was, but people do know who Sean Spears is. And like I told you over the phone, I think he's going to be a solid mid-carder.
All the people in the MJF Jungle Boy match, those four people, there's your mid-card right there.
Yeah.
He's certainly not needed. He should definitely be a guy that gets people over.
Although he wasn't given a chance at WWE, and if that's your only exposure to him, you don't know what he could be capable of. So, yeah, let's see how it plays out, eh? But this whole fucking coming out after the show is barely even an hour done, telling everybody that all this shit's fucking gimmick. What the fuck's wrong with you? I agree with Cornette. Cornette went out on Twitter and said they're in over their heads with this whole AEW thing. They're going out and fucking telling people the chair's rigged. Why are you telling people that?
I agree with Cornette said about, remember when Samoa Joe came out, attacked Seth Rollins, and Rollins injured his leg?
Yeah.
All Samoa Joe tweeted was something along the lines of, my mission is complete for you, Master, to like Triple H. He kept it in kayfabe. In my opinion, they should have sold the chair shot. Called Sean Spears a scumbag.
Especially after it came out that he was okay. So then why does it matter that it was a fucked up chair spot? Like,
I would have sold it. Put more heat on Sean Spears. Why didn't you have
They let that go straight down the toilet. Why didn't they just keep running their fucking mouths?
Why didn't you have Sean Spears go out there and say, yeah, I did, and I'd do it again. I hope he has a fun night getting CAT scans and MRIs.
Yeah, enjoy the fucking staples in your head, bitch. That's
I gotta tell you, if I get knocked out with a steel chair, I hope I wake up to Brandy Rhodes.
It's just like, it didn't make any sense to me why they were openly exposing the business for the sake of letting everybody know that the chair was gimmicked. Why?
Theory, shouldn't they all be? Especially when you know this dude's getting cracked in the head.
It don't matter. Like, why are you telling people that it was fake? That's the problem with the WWE. So why are you doing it? Yeah. But, yeah, so honestly, I mean, it's a little anticlimactic that it was Sean Spears instead of anybody else. It could have been MJ fucking F. But MJF was the first one to come out to the ring, which I also think was stupid since you're booking him as your top heel.
He's part of the Nightmare family. You gotta watch the Being the Elite and.
Yeah, yeah.
So storyline actually makes sense.
I haven't been paying attention to the fucking YouTube
shit. Well, did you see how Sean Spears sold it? Because what Sean Spears did was actually brilliant. You're right, he could earn my respect day by day, as you do with different platforms. He just showed this 5-second clip of Cody saying that Sean Spears is a good hand.
Yeah.
What a simple line that created a good story.
And I think this could be a good story. It's probably not the match that people wanted to see Cody wrestling it all in, or at All Out. But, you know, it could definitely do something. I have my faith in Sean Spears. He was definitely underutilized.
At least Cody and the Bucks aren't launching themselves in the main event.
I agree. I mean,
because that's what I was afraid of with Cody. Nothing personal against the guy, but
Cody don't need to be champion right now. There's no reason to be champ. Like, I don't even think they're going to have a mid-card belt. I think it's just going to be the heavyweight and the tag.
And the women's?
Or the women's, yeah. There's no reason for a mid-card belt right now. You should establish your mid-card first
before
you
make the belt. When they hit TV, I'm sure we're going to see a television title.
Yeah. Yeah, more than likely. I wouldn't mind them having a cruiserweight title. They got enough cruiserweights, and they could probably do it better than WWE's doing it.
Fake a green ass. They could do something similar to the X Division belt. It doesn't have to be weight limits. It can be no limits. Just don't use that tagline. You might get sued. But
oh, the X Division?
Yeah.
That belt don't exist anymore, does it? It still does? They still using the X Division title?
They'd be dumb if they didn't.
Yeah. That fucking, going off topic real quick, that fucking belt that they had Sandow wear around for a while was fucking, the Impact Grand Champion? Do you remember that? He won that stupid ass fucking rules for it as well,
obviously it's wrestling, so it's a sport, but clearly it's not. They tried adding rounds to wrestling. Rounds. 5-minute intervals.
I know, this is about stupid fucking rules. Speaking of which, it's
weird.
It's a shame that that guy decided to retire from the business altogether, but what a great character. No, that would have been someone I would have liked to have seen in AEW.
Are you sure he's not Elias?
I'm positive he's not Elias. That'd be funny if he was, though, wouldn't it? Let's go on to the next match that we were beginning to talk about, at least for a little bit, which was the, The next match on the card was Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers versus the Laredo Kid.
I marked out for that entrance 110%. As soon as I see Ken and Ryu come out, I was super happy because they looked the part. They had that dude come out, the lights came out. Dave knew exactly what that logo was, which I thought was kind of impressed.
Yeah.
Because I like Street Fighter, and Kenny was one of my favorite characters. I whoop ass with that dude.
That being said,
it looked like Street Fighter versus Mortal Kombat, the way the Lucha Bros dressed, so it was...
I thought the wrong team won. I thought the Lucha Brothers should have won. That's just my opinion, though.
That being said,
the fucking match was terrific. Probably the best match in the card, if you ask me.
Did the Lucha Bros win it all out?
Yes.
So,
yes, I'm pretty sure.
So the Bucks got their win back, in theory.
Yeah.
Even though Kenny's the one... Well, they kept Kenny... That game's fun as fuck.
Well, didn't they lose...
They kept Kenny
didn't
strong.
Didn't they lose the title, the tag titles, the AAA tag titles to
in
the
in Mexico,
Bucks?
Yeah. No, though they won it back for the Bucks.
Good.
At that big Mexican show.
That being said, I thought the match was great up until the point where they decided to do a triple Hadouken in the fucking middle of the ring, which is the dumbest fucking shit I've ever seen. It pissed me off. It really pissed me off. It almost made me stop watching.
Right. It didn't make me mad. I wasn't upset. I marked out, like, a little bit because I like Street Fighter. I'm sure that was the intent. I don't think that spot was for us. I think it was for all the gamers there, considering it was a CEO tight event.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think the pop was meant for us. I feel like they're trying to cater to more than just wrestling fans, which is good. You gotta cater to mainstream audience. But yeah, it made me cringe. I kind of wanted to look away.
Kind of pissed me off, honestly.
Felt a little tad embarrassed. I would have hated to be watching that with someone who doesn't like wrestling.
And I just want to play the message that Dave sent to me, because I'm pretty sure you sent my voice clip to Dave. This is what Dave sent back to me.
Yes, triple Hadouken, motherfucker.
Right. It was just like, it just kind of pissed
me
off.
Well, he overheard me. One of my co-hosts on the Newt podcast, which I'm sure all of you listen to, did not appreciate Dan's comments, because I was just playing them out loud because I was busy fucking...
What, Nail like the Hadouken?
Jeremy,
the most retarded thing
Gingy
I've ever seen.
Gingy thought, like, it is what it is. Like, Gingy's just... He feels like that's what wrestling's become. And these kind of spots are tradition. Almost.
Okay.
It's wrestling modernized. I agree with Jim Cornette. It feels like wrestling right now is a porn parody of the wrestling from the 80s and 90s. And not a good one, folks. Because there was some good parody pornos back in the day. You know there's a Seinfeld one? It's really funny. I watched all of them just for the actual scenes. It's really funny.
I think the funny that we're going to go back off the rep. This is non-wrestling related. I think the funniest porn clip I've ever seen is the one where the fucking bitch shows up as a lifeguard and it's the dude sitting in the bathtub. What are you doing in here, ladies? The bathtub.
What was your favorite part, baby? The anal full Nelson.
That being said, back to wrestling. I thought they had a good match, probably the best match in the card. Just that one spot just pissed me off.
Did I fall in your face? Yes, you did, Daddy. Well, I like to do that. Chuck Berry farting in a hooker's face.
Do we
face?
Have to fucking talk about the Chuck Berry sex tape thing, man? That's fucking bad.
Well, if that we're going to get thing. Into comedy mixed with porn, I don't see how Chuck Berry
have
farting
you watched
in a...
it?
No. I plan to.
I don't. That ruined my fucking childhood. I love Chuck Berry. Like...
I just want to hear, I like to do that. That's all I need to hear.
You should show your grandpa, dude.
I'm going to.
You know who this is, grandpa? What?
Oh, it's Chuck Berry.
That's
oh.
Chuck Berry farting on a bitch.
Farting on a bitch. That's exactly what he'd say, too.
Fucking...
Back to the task at hand. As we try to go back to our maiden voyage along the correct path. We took a trip to Sexy Town.
Yeah. Alright, so let's discuss the main event.
I like to do that.
Which was technically not the main event since it was an unsanctioned match, according to AEW.
When the lights go out, there will be no countout. So this should be kind of self-explanatory. All you gotta do is say we're gonna send a ref out. I didn't feel the need for that big enough. I like Justin Roberts. Did I ever... Let's get this story out of the way. He gave me a t-shirt at SmackDown. I want to say it was 07. It was the build-up to WrestleMania. Yeah. 23. I'm sitting there on the barricade, and he's handing out shirts. And I go, Justin! You know I'm loud as fuck. Justin! He goes, what's up, man? I said, let me get a shirt. He goes, I can't give out anywhere. I'm like, I'm just a kid! And he goes, damn it, and gave me the shirt. So I hope to meet him one day and retell him that story.
But
he's a little gruffled. He like like Jesus. He sounds more pumped up than Bruce and Michael Buffer. He's a good announcer though.
He is a good announcer, probably the best in the business. Although that dude that WWE has is pretty good as well. I can't remember his fucking name though. But yeah, dude, Justin's fucking great. That being said, let's get on to the match. Moxley comes out.
Do you think that he's wearing the pants in All Elite because it was an unsanctioned match, or do you think he's trying to have a difference between John Moxley, New Japan, John Moxley, All Elite? Because his theme song is different as well.
He's trying to split the boat. Yeah, and his fucking finisher in AEW is called the Paradigm Shift, not the Death Rider.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, like, yeah, I think he's trying to be separate. Joey Janela came out, and I gotta say, dude, I love the Macho Man glasses he wears. Like, fucking great. He came out.
He's a scumbag in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, that being said, match begins. We get the chair shots to start off, I'm pretty sure.
It just...
And then, oh yeah, no, so the first weapon move, it was actually a really cool one. John Moxley did a power slam with the chair. He picked up Janela with the chair and slammed him with the chair. I thought that was a great spot. Then Ambrose gets out of the ring, goes under the ring and pulls out a barbed wire wrapped chair. And tosses it into the ring. What I thought was a nice touch is that he still had the paper towels that he used to get all the blood off his hands still attached to it. I thought it was a nice touch. So he threw that on there. He then takes the barbed wire chair and smashes it into Joey Janela's chest. I think then Joey Janela then hits him with the barbed wire chair in the back, kind of cutting his lower back. Then Ambrose grabs a fucking board, a barbed wire board. Ambrose gets dumped into the board, cutting him up pretty bad.
Looked real.
Now, this is where it gets interesting. They start setting up tables around the outside of the ring, and Janela pulls out a ladder, and takes the, and does the superhuman fuck this shit
through
the fucking table on
Ambrose. I had a flashback of 2008 One Night Stand seeing, Undertaker do a similar spot through four tables when Edge pushed him off and won the match. So that's... I've always liked that spot. I know another person that did that spot well, I think was... I know the Dudleys and the Hardys and Edge and Christian have done that before, too.
I know...
Alberto's done that once, too, with someone.
I know Steen and Ambrose did that kind of same spot, except...
I like how you call Kevin Owens Kevin Steen, but John Moxley Dean Ambrose.
Owens and Ambrose in the WWE did that sort of that spot. They set up a ladder in the corner, and Owens delivered, and there was a table off the corner, and Owens delivered the fisherman's
fisherman suplex
through the tables. So I mean, I've seen that spot a few times, but I think they pulled it off really well. Progressing through the match, Janela is just kind of getting the shit kicked out of him now.
I do enjoy that he just hits dirty deeds out of nowhere and it's not a finish.
That's good, yeah. The underhook DDT, fucking good move.
As I probably should call it.
But the match continues a bit. You see Ambrose pick up a bucket. Brings the bucket in the ring, and what's in the bucket? Thumbtacks. So he pulls out one set of thumbtacks.
Gave me chills, but in a good way.
He gave Janela the X the X-Plex?
Something like that. I know what you're talking about.
Owns the tags, which look fucking bad enough. Then he then took off Janela's shoes, which this is the part where it kind of got a little bit uncomfortable to watch.
And his socks. I felt like it took too long. It didn't seem I know Ambrose is a big dude, especially compared to Joey Janela, but at the same time, he was sitting on that dude's leg for a while, taking off both shoes and both socks, and Joey just kind of let him do it.
Yeah.
Didn't come off as genuine and authentic as it could have been, but the spot was worth it. That atomic drop on the tacks looked painful, and it looked executed right. And I'm glad Kevin Dunn from afar, his two Bucky Beaver teeth managed to get the part where you could see his heels and his soles all covered in tacks.
Oh yeah, dude. And then he gives him the paradigm shift, as it's known in AEW.
On the tacks,
and you see Ambrose. I mean. Moxley,
the titty master, ladies and gentlemen.
The titty master fucking spit out attack.
Yeah.
And then roll him up for the pin, and that ended the event. Overall, I think the event was a solid B-, C+.
Well, I mean, it's just a middle-of-the-road pay-per-view, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't marketed as anything too huge.
It's to prepare you for All Out, and I don't know if Fight for the Fallen is even going to be televised, you know. Pay-per-view, streaming, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's on a telly, so it's telly.
Oh, so I like the whole Fozzy Jericho angle that they did where they pulled out, which is like what happened at the real Firefest.
Oh, Slipknot allegedly pulled out of there too. Because Corey Taylor and Jericho are friends, which I'm sure is making Triple H cry a little on the inside.
Yeah.
Because that's one of his close personal friends too. My good friend TK, Tony Khan, one of my best friends. Fucking MJF's gold. One thing I will talk about that I like that they do, and it's almost like a UFC feel, which you should want wrestling to feel real. That's how people are going to buy tickets and want to watch. They at least have to believe in it. And I like the post-match interviews. I really enjoy that.
Yeah, me too.
It's very New Japan-esque, and you should take from it. Another thing that I liked about the show overall that made it feel realistic was the timed finishes.
Just
the timing in matches, period. Jim Ross has been crowing about that for years, and I agree with him. I was wrong. It's not a dusty finish. That was a Broadway between Cody and Darby Allin, but I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought that was brilliant because everyone and their mom thought Cody was going to win. So at least Cody basically got the win, but he didn't. He kept Darby Allin strong.
Yeah, it ended in a draw.
So what was your match of the night? I'm going to go with Cody and Darby. Total story.
Probably gonna go the Ambrose Janela, maybe even the Bucks and the Lucha Brothers, honestly. But overall, pretty middle of the road pay per view.
There's more to talk about.
There is more to talk about.
If you
want to
keep going, because I want to keep going.
Yeah. So that was Fyter Fest, and so the next pay per view we got coming up is Fight for the Fallen, and then All Out.
I don't know if Jericho's going to wrestle with that. I feel like it's cool that they're not using Jericho all the time. That's going to make him a Brock Lesnar-esque special attraction.
I agree.
Maybe they would have sold a couple hundred more tickets. Wouldn't have really mattered if he was at Fyter Fest. It also shows they don't need Jericho either, which is good. They don't have to rely on old relics, even though Jericho's not one. Speaking of old relics, we're going to get into Monday Night Raw. One of the most confusing returns I think I've ever seen. The only thing I think I did see during Raw was the return of The Undertaker to help out his fellow dog, Roman Reigns, helping defend the yard against the best in the world, Shane McMahon, and how they should call him the Scottish Terminator, Drew McIntyre. That's going to be... If they're setting up for McIntyre and Undertaker, it might be worth it.
McIntyre should retire...
I think it should be Bray, but that's neither here nor there.
I think it should be Bray as well, but whenever I hear it,
I don't think Undertaker is going to retire at SummerSlam. So I feel
I don't think he's going to retire at SummerSlam either.
I feel like him putting over Drew McIntyre might be the best thing. If I was WWE, the ratings are so low, I'd have Undertaker and Shane Russell a match on Raw and just have Taker kill him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it should
I think people are going to want to tune in to see Shane get his ass beat because he's a heel. He's the biggest heel in the company right now, and he's 50, and the boss's son. His last name is McMahon. I remember The Rock was cutting a promo years ago, and he says, I don't give a monkey's ass about the McMahon family drama.
Yeah.
The Rock said that in the late 90s, and we are in 2019, and the McMahons are just as relevant as they were in the 90s. They're like the Simpsons. They just won't go away.
Yeah, even when it's for the best.
Even if it's for the best.
That being said, though, we had some other big news about Raw and SmackDown be announced this week is that Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff will be taking executive director roles at both shows.
The Alliance won, folks. How ironic is it that Paul's now in charge of Raw and Eric's in charge of SmackDown? A flippy flip from 2003.
Crazy.
When back in the day, Raw and SmackDown were getting over 4 million a week, getting over 10,000 people every single week in attendance, including house shows, not to mention SmackDown would beat Raw in the ratings. Happened quite a few times under Paul Heyman's leadership with the SmackDown 6.
I think Paul Heyman is the better booker of the two. But
Eric Bischoff never really had any success. I understand 83 weeks. I understand the NWO. Take that away, what do you got?
Goldberg.
You got to give credit there. Yeah, he did see some. Yet again, who couldn't see the money in that guy?
But after that, after Goldberg was gone, he pretty much handed the reins to Vinny Roo. And
Goldberg lost to a taser from Scott Hall. Is how that streak ended. Wasn't a legitimate MMA badass like Brock Lesnar. No, it was a taser from Scott Hall and Kevin Nash.
Vinny Roo.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that, dude. Like, Vinny Roo destroyed that.
That's promo. A hell of a promo. If you guys ever seen it, it was in 2000, the reset button. When Eric Bischoff and Vinny Roo strip every one of the belts. I feel like Paul Heyman is going to turn Raw around if he has some control. From what I'm reading, they wanted to have Shane McMahon be the one to dethrone Kofi Kingston for the WWE Championship. One of the best baby faces we've had in a really long time.
Apparently that's not happening now with Bischoff.
Don, yeah, I was about to bring that up. Don, I listened to a couple minutes of Don Tony and Kevin Castle talk about it was Kofi only champion because he was black. Oh, you guys are fucking stupid. I mean, how is that a 16-minute conversation? The answer is no. Because he's fucking talented. The New Day is one of the hottest acts. He's one of the best wrestlers in the company. That's why he's the fucking champion.
It's,
and for him to lose that to Shane McMahon, of all people, that's not a payoff any of us want to see.
It would be a mistake. I think the best person for him to drop it to is McIntyre. So...
Who, Kofi?
Yeah.
What are you, invoking the wild card rule? Because Drew's on Raw.
He is. You're right.
You're
well,
genius!
Now, well, here's the thing. Like, they switch brands so often now that I can't tell who's on who.
Well, if you really want to get technical, Samoa Joe is a Raw superstar too, who's competing for the SmackDown world title.
Yeah.
If you really want to get down to brass tacks. So, yes, you could do Drew versus Kofi. I wouldn't mind that. Honestly. So I think with Paul, hopefully we get a Raw 6 and he pushes actual wrestlers.
So we have some breaking news during the podcast as well. Sami Callihan is trying to challenge Jon Moxley to a hardcore match. Which, how entertaining is that gonna be? Folks.
Well, I will say this. I don't like Sami Callihan, not one bit, but I know those two boys are going to beat the shit out of each other.
That's if he takes the match. I don't see... Where are you going to wrestle him at? There's not a promotion right now that wants you.
No, they really don't. I really don't see...
So where are you going to put on that match,
buddy? I really don't see that match happening on TNT. I'll tell you that right now. But Tony Khan specifically said there will be... Nowhere near the amount of blood, violence, swearing, or middle fingers at you as you've seen in the past couple pay-per-views on TNT. They're not going to be PG 110%, but they're going to lean towards trying not to offend anybody.
Yeah. So Gene Simmons has opened up a marijuana dispensary in other news called the Kissbensary.
I might have to go there and pick up a bag.
I don't know where it's at. They have their own weed called Kiss Kush.
That's awesome.
We need to email Matt Riddle.
Where is it?
The highest bro.
It's in Los Angeles. So yeah, it'll be there when by the time we're there in November.
For Deathlock?
Yeah.
Another off the we're gonna talk about wrestling a little more, folks. There ain't a whole lot more to cover. Besides Stomping Grounds was a terrible pay-per-view. Really nothing to talk about there.
No.
None of the matches felt important. It felt like sweet Saudi money without the fireworks and Muslims.
Yeah.
Felt like the same card. No different.
That's really funny.
Are you gearing up for Sweet Saudi 4, baby? I can't take no more. That's what I'm calling it. I just find it funny the Saudi princes are paying WWE $250 million real life American dollars to put on wrestling.
Sammy Callahan's a dumb fuck and can't even spell, and everybody's trolling him about it. He's like, fuck grammar, right?
He reminds me a lot of Ricky without the talent.
Yeah, Sammy Callahan's a fuck.
I will say I'm not a fan. I think what he did with Eddie Edwards was bullshit. I think what he did with Kevin Sullivan was bullshit. I think Daisy is adorable. Hello.
Isn't he having an intergender match in Impact right now?
He's feuding with Tessa Blanchard. He said, you want to be treated like a fucking equal, then here, and just boot her right in her face. I mean, hey, it's wrestling. I'm not upset by it. I am not a fan of intergender matches. Unless it's Andy Kaufman, I don't want to see a man wrestle a woman. Or if Nyla Jax is wrestling. Other than that, no, I don't want to see.
Which most people can't tell that she's a fucking dude, right?
Which is good.
Yeah. Jim Cornette don't know she's a dude, right? Otherwise, he probably would be really pissed off that she's in the division. Joe Rogan didn't know that she's a dude. Or Joe Rogan would probably be really pissed off that she's in the division, right?
Well, I feel like Joe Rogan would be like, well, it's choreographed, it's not a sport, so who cares? I think that would be Joe Rogan's response, if you want to know the truth.
Still, that dude is power slamming them bitches, like... Or, excuse me, Nyla Rose is power slamming her fellow women. So...
Well, let's talk about this, since it's very clear we're bullshit, and I'll smoke a blow with you before we go.
Okay.
Because I love you. We need to talk about my favorite podcaster, yours and mine, besides the great Brian Lash. Jim Cornette fell under some controversy for the comment, Sonny Kiss looked like he just got off his day shift at the Tropicana.
Which, that character does look like a Tropicana dancer, but like...
So, as someone, I mean, you're not part of the LGBT community. I mean, I attended the meetings in school. Thirsty little bastard, but hey. Do you feel like what he said was offensive? Because, you know, we both love and know gay people. Like, we hang around gay people. Like,
no.
Fuck.
No. I just think that it's
We have fabulous friends, folks. We're going to get down to the bottom of this. Maybe the top. Whatever your preference is.
I don't think what he said was sexist, especially when you take it into the context that he was criticizing a wrestling character.
It wouldn't be sexist. It'd be homophobic.
Transphobic or whatever the fuck you want to call it. I don't think that's the intent that he had. And some people might have interpreted it that way, but I don't think that's the intent that he had.
I will say...
I just think that there's a lot of people that really don't like Jim Cornette and are tired of hearing his opinion, so they want him silenced. But...
I feel like whether it's Sonny Kiss, whether it's Rikishi, or whether it's X-Pac, I don't want to see anyone's ass in anyone's face. It's not entertaining. To me, it's not funny. It's not going to sell an extra ticket. It's not going to give a tick in the ratings. Why do it? Why do you have to consistently shove your big fat ass in that dude's face? I don't understand.
Yeah, I didn't really like it when Rikishi was doing it. I didn't think it was a fucking good move. Like, it just looked kind of gross.
It just seems more like a punishment.
It's a cheap pop. Like, that's all it is. Like, you get someone's ass rubbed in your face, it's a cheap pop.
I think at this state of age, I wouldn't be that big of a fan of Big Dick Johnson either, who also did that.
I don't know, it's just gross. I wasn't a fan of the McMahon Kiss My Ass Club either. I thought that shit was unnecessary. Like, you're just gonna have your fucking own staff kiss your bare ass on national television? Like, he did it to William Regal.
Well, that was funny. I will say the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club is really funny in theory, because every day, all of us go to work and you have to kiss your boss's ass. Well, now you gotta kiss mine. I'm a genius.
Fucking Vince. He's just, you know.
I think if I was booking WWE, I'd bring back the Shane McMahon Kiss My Ass Club.
Yeah, I would.
You want to get Shane over? Don't call him the best in the world.
And did you hear that kid said CM Punk?
Oh, that's another funny thing. During a commercial break, as they do for most TV tapings, someone asked, who is the best in the world? And he gave the very appropriate response, CM Punk.
Yeah.
A kid who
was... Did you hear the opening to Saw Monster? They did the, where is he? Where is the son of a bitch? Take me to him!
Take me to him, son of a bitch! Take me to him! You stay here with Stephanie!
But, the other big news story that we should probably talk about before we wrap up, was Tommy Dreamer did a podcast this week, based on depression. I think he had Big Cass on as a guest.
You'll find this amazing, Josh.
There's two stories that come out of this, podcast. The first story is Tommy Dreamer had, confessed that he had once planned a murder-suicide at WrestleMania, 17?
Live. Paul Heyman was going to... He was planning for Paul to be on camera. And Tommy Dreamer was going to be right in the front row. And he was going to whack him right there and then whack himself on live pay-per-view.
Yep.
The greatest WrestleMania of all time, I might add. WrestleMania 17. Go down that card and tell me why it's the best.
But the... Paul Heyman kept begging Tommy Dreamer to stay in ECW while Paul Heyman was collecting a check from WWE.
Tommy Dreamer
was putting in his own money into ECW along with his parents' money.
Tommy Dreamer was also turned down for Paul a $750,000 guaranteed contract.
At WCW, yeah.
Yeah. $750,000 a year for fake wrestling.
That being said...
that was 90s money.
He was at, where is that, the Astrodome? He was at the Astrodome, and the sign said, weapons are welcome. And so he was...
Because it's Texas.
So he really did knock like Heyman. He's like, this motherfucker's taking my parents' money and has been lying to me. And he's like, I'm going to shoot this motherfucker on live television at WrestleMania. And then I'm so depressed myself that I'm just going to off myself as well.
He said he wanted to be remembered to be a martyr.
And that being said, the person who stopped it all from happening was good old JR.
And all he basically said was, hey, just hang in tight. We're working on something for you. He said he didn't know Jim Ross from Adam.
So I think that was a cool little story.
I suffer from depression, and this is a real life thing I'll keep short. Like, I'll never do it. But suicidal thoughts creep in my head. Not all the time, but it hits. And I'm considering getting help myself. I'm considering maybe getting on some meds. Maybe trying to find me a good old cheap therapist and a couch.
Obviously, you know...
You gotta find the help, man. I'm just... You need... If you're depressed, you need to find help. It doesn't matter what it is. Whether you're fucking sleeping all the time. You're not eating right. You always got a controller in your hand. That's the most exercise you get during the day. You know, you gotta find help, man. You can't just sit around and expect things to get better, because if you don't try to get help, or if someone doesn't try to help you, you might just end up killing Paul Heyman and yourself.
That being said, Big Cass was also involved in an interview, I believe, who was also going for a big bout of depression, and is lucky to be alive himself for the amount of drinking he did. And because of his depression, it caused him to have an epileptic seizure because he would stay up for hours on end.
He said he didn't even, I know we're getting, I'm getting most of my information from the Solid Monster podcast, which I will plug every chance I get. He didn't sleep for 48 hours. He said he doesn't even remember walking through the curtain. Said he woke up to, you know, the doctor or whatever saying, hey, you had a seizure. He didn't even know it.
So.
He said he wished that God would have took him. End quote.
And so, yeah.
That's fucking scary. That's really scary. Because he's young.
Well, and now it looks like Free Agent Z, as they're now known. They're now getting some bookings, at least.
Yeah, he's worth it. He's a young talent who has promise.
And I think him and Enzo have had time to mature. And so I think they're going to do quite well on the
independent scene. I think Cass is also doing, which I need to start doing, is DDP yoga.
DDP yoga.
Which is save Scott Hall, Jake Roberts, a couple other actual celebrities non-wrestling related. I can't remember off the top of my head because fuck you.
Boogie 298 did it for a while. Right. But yeah, so... But
his wife's getting blacked.
Anyway, folks, I think that's about wrapping it up for this week. It's been a good hour-long conversation that we've had. And so until next week, keep dropping them sweets, them big city slams on a cup of haters.
Thank you. Fuck you. Bye. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Big City Slam podcast, a mini episode because my co-host is at work and I got bored and brought his iPad, so we're going to talk about some wrestling. And the first thing, and one of the main things I want to talk about is why, in my opinion, the ratings are low. And I feel like we have the three best babyface champions, technically the four best WWE champions that they could have, are on top right now. You have Kofi Kingston, someone who should have been champion years ago, but he finally won the belt at Mania, and he's had a hell of a run ever since. He's basically been undefeated, winning clean match after match after match, as he should be. And he's on top, and for some odd reason, even though it was because Kevin Owens didn't want any of that sweet Saudi money, is why we've been getting Dolph Ziggler feuding with Kofi Kingston for what feels like the 50th time. It feels very Dolph Ziggler and Miz-esque, but that's neither here nor there. Kofi Kingston is someone who should be feuding with someone, in my opinion, a little higher up the anarchy, hierarchy, whatever word I'm supposed to use. There's just a couple other names I feel like on the SmackDown roster he could have feuded with. But they went with Dolph Ziggler, and it seems we are moving on to Samoa Joe. So the feelings are in the right place. They're doing the right things with Kofi feuding with Samoa Joe. One thing that we saw on SmackDown tonight, Kingston gave Samoa Joe a Stone Cold Steve Austin finger. And very shortly after, on the WWE YouTube channel, they completely got rid of it and deleted its existence from history. At least that's what it seems. But we're getting a very hot babyface, Kofi Kingston, who hopefully does not lose the belt to Shane McMahon. That is one person I feel like why the ratings are so low. We'll get into that in a bit. And then we move on to the WWE SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley, who hasn't really been feuding with anyone of any interest, any star power. In my opinion, she should be feuding with Asuka, who is also being completely underutilized in the Kabuki Warriors with Io Shirai. They've done absolutely diddly with Asuka. I just feel like that's someone Bayley could be feuding with. Bayley's a top good babyface. I like her. I feel like she gets it done in the ring. She has a good personality and her character works well. I feel like the crowds have not completely turned on her. They shouldn't. It's not her fault. She's in the situation she's been in. in my opinion, Bayley could be feuding with Sasha. I could say the same thing about the Raw Women's Champion that I'm about to get to in a second. You know, it's a shame that Sasha and Bayley finally win the belts at WrestleMania. We get this big build, Women's Revolution, tag team championships for the women, never before seen in WWE except a really long time ago, but they're not going to discuss that. And they lose the belts to the Iconics. As good looking as they are, they're just eye candy. They are the WWE Diva protocol right there, and it's nothing against them. They just shouldn't be, they shouldn't be champion of anything at all. And they got rid of Sasha and Bayley as tag champs, and Sasha has been gone ever since WrestleMania. We have not seen a lick of the boss. So they kind of screwed over three big talents, not using Asuka. Sasha's damn near gone. According to my co-host, he's thinking Sasha's going to be on the cover of 2K20. I'm thinking he's ribbing, trying to be funny. They haven't done anything with her, and she's someone that definitely deserves that push. That's someone on the women's roster who screams top heel. She screams top bitch. That's exactly who she should be. She's very, very talented and gets it done in the ring. And then we move on to Becky Lynch, who is arguably one of the hottest acts in the company just in general. And she's feuding with Lacey Evans, someone who's very green, someone who's very new, someone who had no memorable matches in NXT. Correct me if I'm wrong, I don't watch NXT as much as I should, but I do watch the pay-per-views. And I have not seen one memorable match or moment involving Lacey Evans. So the fact that she's basically on top of the women's roster on Raw, feuding with the champion, that makes her higher up the totem pole than the whole roster. And she hasn't really done anything besides look like a big sweaty woman, which I guess is Vince and JBL's thing. And Lacey Evans actually had a really good match with Becky Lynch. I believe it was at Money in the Bank. It wasn't really good, but it was good for Lacey. And I feel like that's where they should have stopped right there. And they gave us a decent match. They gave Lacey Evans a platform. And now they're just milking it. She is all right as a character. Her mic work, she comes off somewhat as a genuine sassy Southern belle, as much as Lana came across as a genuine Russian woman or Bulgarian woman, whatever Lana was supposed to be. She does remind me a lot of a more physically built Lana, more muscular, but she's definitely not as over as Lana's ever been. And that's just my whole point, is she's new and she's being thrusted right into the spotlight, whether she wins the championship or not. And I hope to God she does, and we're going to get into how that's a possibility here in a bit, because we have to move on to the man's man, Seth Rollins. Another person that we were supposed to bring up on the last episode, but we didn't have the opportunity because the episode was a damn good one, and we kept going talking about other things that were important. But when it comes to Seth, it is not his fault that he has been pushed into this unnecessary program with Sacha Baron Corbin. Now, I'm not blaming Baron Corbin. It's not his fault, but he should not be in this spotlight. He shouldn't have retired Kurt Angle. He did, and I don't think that's getting him the kind of heat they were looking for. He also looks like the manager of Applebee's, which where I'm about to be working. And that just, he doesn't come off as a top heel pro wrestler. He doesn't even look like a pro wrestler. He looks like exactly that, an Applebee's manager. And it doesn't come across as must-see TV. The goal of a heel is you're supposed to want to see him get his ass kicked by the babyface. And we've seen Seth beat Baron on multiple occasions already. He is not someone that is going to give Seth Rollins the kind of platform or matches that Seth needs to continue to be over. And that's not fair to your Universal Champion when there's quite a few other people on the main roster on Raw or SmackDown since the wild card rule has been in full effect. There's just, you know, he could have been feuding with Samoa Joe, who's now feuding with Kofi. Seth could be feuding with Roman. I wouldn't mind that. They probably could have pulled a better rivalry out than what they're doing now. than what's happening at Extreme Rules, one of your main events. The man, Becky Lynch, and the man's man, Seth Rollins, taking on Sacha Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans in a winner-take-all match for the WWE Universal and Raw Women's Championship. Now, I don't know, I don't care how the finish goes, but they better not pull the trigger on that. And I doubt they will. I don't think they will, but it is a possibility. It almost makes you want to tune in to make sure that it doesn't happen. And that's the scary thing, is that they're allowing this to happen. I don't see why it was booked in the first place. Besides, it seems like they really, really want to let you know that Becky Lynch and Seth are dating. It's all over social media. It's all over their YouTube. It seems like it's on their Instagram. It's all over Facebook. It's everywhere. They want you to know that the man and the man's man are indeed together. And I don't even see it being that good of a match. And you have two of the best workers on the Raw side taking on two of the worst workers on the Raw side. Now, I know work rate shouldn't be that important, but wrestling is very important to me. I'm a wrestling fan. I like to see wrestling, and you will hear us say that a lot on the program. And Baron Corbin nor Lacey Evans is going to provide that. At least we get Kofi and Samoa Joe. I don't know why I paused it. That's going to be a damn good match. But instead of having, you know, Becky feud with someone memorable or Seth, you have them feuding against the two worst wrestlers that they could be feuding with right now. And other than that, that's just, in my opinion, has been some of the issues with the main roster. The other one, in my opinion, is Shane McMahon, who is damn near Chris Jericho's age. He can still wrestle. Not, you know, Shane hasn't exactly ever been the greatest technical wrestler to begin with, but he can still go and deliver pretty decent matches. But he is currently the best in the world, and they like to reiterate that every single week. What I'm hoping happens is it leads to a Drew McIntyre-Shane McMahon rivalry down the line, so that way Drew can get over some more, because that's the real star in that act. The real investment WWE needs to be taking is with Drew McIntyre. And one of the rumors that hopefully just doesn't happen, especially now that we have Eazy-E, Eric Bischoff, allegedly running SmackDown, is that Shane McMahon will not become the WWE champion come SummerSlam. That's a scary thought, and a very, very boring one. Definitely something that's going to make me not want to change the channel to SmackDown. I didn't even watch SmackDown tonight. Too busy playing Skyrim, because yeah, there's other things that we can do besides watch wrestling. And I miss when wrestling was must-see TV. Speaking of, we're going to get a little bit more into other news, and then we're going to wrap this up because this is a very short episode. Eli Drake has just signed with the National Wrestling Alliance, another big pickup for them. So which means we may be seeing Eli Drake in Ring of Honor. Another company that could be using all the star power they can get. So, with that in mind, Impact Wrestling. I haven't really seen much from them, but what it's looking like is they may have a television deal with AXS, the home of New Japan Pro Wrestling, which will remind me of the same deal that was happening on Destination America. I was living in California at the time, and you had Impact and Ring of Honor. 3 hours of pretty good wrestling. I really, really enjoyed those two companies at that time. I really did. I believe EC3 was on top of Impact. My, oh my, what a few short years can do. And in other wrestling news, we had a very, very, very good Raw compared to last couple months with Paul Heyman being in charge. We had the Street Profits debut, even though they didn't wrestle, which is fine. You got to build that up as your NXT champion. So they are still the Street Profits, not the Street Profit Experience. So we get that. We also had Bobby Lashley and Baron Corbin actually do what they should do, and they beat the living snot out of each other. It was a damn good match. They were hitting each other with everything but the kitchen sink. It was a lot of fun. They fought in the crowd, a lot of big power moves, as those two behemoths should be doing, which led to a Rhino gore spot, with Rhino being played by Braun Strowman and Chris Jericho being played by Bobby Lashley. Here comes my co-host now. He is just getting home. It was a really good Raw. I actually really, really enjoyed it. We had actual good wrestling. We also got to see how good-looking and lucky Rockstar Spud is with his wife. How good-looking Rockstar. Yeah, he's a pretty good-looking dude. And then his wife. And it's amazing how this 24/7 title we thought was going to be a blunder. We thought it was going to be boring. We didn't think it was going to work. I made an angry video game nerd meme about it, comparing the hardcore title to it. I think it's been a lot of fun. And I am not so sure that...
You looked at me.